Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know a lot of faces yet. I'm Larry Love. My wife and I moved here from Castle Rock, Colorado, several months ago, and we're pleased to be with you. Unlike our hymns this morning, I will not talk about Christmas. An older couple awoke on their 50th anniversary. The husband offered to make his wife breakfast in bed. Beginning to forget things, they'd agreed to make lists about everything they did. "I want strawberries in a bowl," she said. "Now make a list so you don't forget." "Don't need a list, I can remember that. Strawberries in a bowl," the husband replied. "But there's more," she said. "I want sugar on the strawberries in the bowl. Now make a list." "Easy," he said. "Don't need a list, sugar on strawberries in a bowl. Got it. Please make a list. I want whipped cream on the strawberries, on the sugar in the bowl." "Too easy," he replied. "Whipped cream on sugar on strawberries in a bowl." "But I'm not through," she said. "Now make a list. I want sprinkles on the whipped cream, on the sugar, and the strawberries in the bowl." "Don't need the list. I'll get your breakfast," he said, and away he went to the kitchen. About 20 minutes later, the husband returns with bacon and eggs. "See," the wife said, "I told you to make a list. You forgot the toast." My wife and I are about at that point every day as it is. We meet new people in all new situations every day. A Greek philosopher wondered where the sun went every night. And he sat down and pondered it, and finally it dawned on him. I thought that was a good one. The sun rises new every morning. The title of our lesson. A new day dawns. We're given another day to accomplish for the Lord. Jeremiah 50, 22 and 23. The noise of battle is in the land, a great destruction. How the hammer of the whole world has been cut off and broken. How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. Lamentations 1, 7. In the days of her affliction and homelessness, Jerusalem remembers all her precious things that were from the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the adversary, and no one helped her. The adversary saw her and mocked at her ruin. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, the scourge of the nations, hammer of the whole earth, finished his destruction of Jerusalem. The city, full of people and great among the nations, sat solitary and abandoned and wept with none to comfort her. Her enemies mocked her. But men of faith looked to the Lord. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, I think he really should be called the hopeful prophet. He laments much, but throughout his message, he spreads hope. In Lamentations 3:24, "The Lord is my portion," says my soul. "Therefore, I have hope in him." Jeremiah gave hope to all who would listen, a new lease on life. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." 2,600 years ago, after Jeremiah, men and women of faith still had confidence and rejoiced that the Lord's compassions never cease, that they are new every morning. Sometimes those leading prayer thank the Lord for past blessings and implore a continuation for the future. But our heartbeats from yesterday will not suffice for today, nor will yesterday's meals or breathing God indeed blesses us. We have a need for physical blessings. New every morning is the work of our hearts. Each day requires renewing of all things, but especially our relationship with God. One perishes unless God, who originally gives life and breath in all things, he renews all physical blessings, and we work to renew our spiritual relationship with him. Acts 17, verses 24 and 25. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, neither is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. We need strength for the day. Regardless of one's past strength, one needs to renew it each morning. The Almighty, whose compassions never cease, who is not slack concerning his promises, left assurance for us. The Lord is not slow about his promise. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. Deuteronomy 33:25, your locks shall be iron and bronze, and according to your days, so shall your leisurely walks be. The Lord will protect us. He keeps evil at bay, and our leisurely days shall follow suit. We'll be protected. We need opportunities. 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. Paul speaking, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a wide door of effective ministry has opened for me, and there are many adversaries. He didn't say, but there are many adversaries. Paul was not afraid of adversaries. He nonchalantly said, and there are adversaries. As a matter of fact, there are some adversaries we have today. Paul wished to remain in Ephesus even with knowledge of the adversaries. But who was Paul's main adversary? Satan. Satan means in Hebrew adversary, enemy, accuser. Paul knew he had the support of God and was not troubled by the adversary or adversaries, for we find them everywhere. People trying to tempt us to do something we shouldn't. Events happening that we react to in a way possibly we shouldn't. New every morning to all Christians means opportunities to be a leavening influence for Jesus in our daily associations. What do we mean by leavening influence? Leaven is a substance that produces the conversion of an organic substance into new compounds, as in leavened dough. The carbon dioxide released causes the dough to rise. In our definition, leaven means to imbue with modifying influence. As we show the world our reactions and reveal ourselves as different from the world, we can influence others to react differently to the world's normal hostility. Christians keep their eyes open, keep people honest, keep out of trouble, and even the appearance of evil. I helped form a committee that wrote the General Accounting Office regulations. And it instructs accountants and auditors to avoid the appearance of conflict of interest. Christ tells us to avoid the appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, stay away from every form of evil. Titus 3:1, Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. That's not the appearance of evil, is it? We have a need for protection. Luke 4:13. And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him, that is Jesus, until an opportune time. The fact Satan departed from Jesus until an opportune time does not mean he remained away from Jesus for an extended period. He was still present. He was only waiting for a better opportunity to attempt a negative influence. Only those ignorant of Scripture would think the devil would take a vacation. We must remain aware. Satan's temptations are new every morning, which may be a difficult task for the ruler of night, but in his stupidity, the devil is about to take all he can to hell with him. Not intelligent for a being who absolutely knows and realizes his end result, but is quite hateful and resentful of God who made him. Since Satan is such a powerful adversary, and since God loves his people, he sees to it that the serpent does not get an advantage. We are aligned with the most powerful force in the universe, including heaven and hell. John 10:29. Jesus, asked by Jews if he was the Christ, replied, "My Father, who has given them, Christians, to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." We have great protection from the most powerful force anywhere. But we need to be aware God's eyes are in every place, knowing evil and good deeds, and delivering us from temptation. If but we listen to him. Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." Divine protection is afforded new every morning. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." His divine protection, however, is not unconditional. It's imperative that Christians, as in 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Have you noticed the arrogance of many in our world who gain notoriety and fame through their avoidance of any rules in their lives? It's sad and depressing. Unless God's people cooperate with our divine protector in resisting the devil, we forfeit all claims of God's special assistance unless we repent and change direction. James 4, 7 and 8. "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Matthew 6:24 is a definition of double-minded. "No one can be the slave of two masters, since either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves to God and money." Or Luke 16:13, "No household slave can be the slave of two masters. since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't be slaves to both God and money. We can overcome and be triumphant, if we so desire. God knows we are far from perfect. He demands we sacrifice time and effort and study. Revelation 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Everyone, even new Christians, can overcome the devil. 1 John 2:14, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. We have a need for providence. That's the care of God over his people. Providence literally means to see before. God, who provides providence, sees before the need arises and arranges to meet that need. God saw that Abraham would need a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, and Abraham offered the ram rather than his son. Genesis 22:13. Then Abraham raised his eyes, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in place of his son. This instance of God's intervention and providence deeply impressed Abraham. In verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is called to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." God knows our needs long before we do. But in our humility, we need to make our requests known to God. We need to pray about those things we need. Christians are Abraham's spiritual children. And like Abraham, we are God's offspring. Galatians 3:29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. John 15:15, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We know everything God told Jesus. We are special. We have special knowledge the world does not. Now, not everything that happens to Christians with each new day is good. The one who sees the end from the beginning overrules the devil in human affairs, so that things work out benefiting believing Christians. Ecclesiastes 7:8, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to men, but the answer is from the Lord. And Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his righteousness and his purpose. God's providential care is around the block, or around the block, around the clock, rock around the clock, I guess. Psalm 121:4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is active all the time with his providential care, keeping us. Do you feel safe? Are we good enough to feel safe? Paul became more confident with each new day. Philippians 4:19, And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We have a need for angelic help. From what we know by sight, feelings, and experience, we cannot totally affirm the existence of angels. By our faith, the faith that comes from God's word, we learn that angels minister to our needs. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make his enemies a footstool for your feet? Are angels not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Christians should rejoice because angels of the unchanging Jehovah deliver us daily. Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and rescues them. Without angels, we would not be as many to face a new morning. We have a need for renewed forgiveness. Precious to baptized Christians is our knowledge that confession of sin, our Father of mercy, grants immediate remission, so we can be new every morning. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can begin new every morning. When and where we die does not matter, for death comes to us all. Through forgiveness, we keep ourselves always ready. And the first death is not to be feared, for we have assurance of living in heaven. By obeying God and his precepts, we believe his promise of eternal life. Like Lazarus lying at the rich man's gate, we know when our soul leaves this earthly shell, and we are escorted to Abraham's bosom and are comforted. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if the earthly tent, our bodies, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Luke 16:22 through 25. Now it came about, the poor man died and was carried away to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Notice no mention of Abraham's bosom for the rich man. And in Hades, the place of departed souls, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Abraham essentially said, you set your priorities. You ignored a brother in distress and made no effort to help him. You attended synagogue. The message was before you, and you ignored it. Why should you be helped now? Why didn't you obey? Our earthly responsibility as Christians is to our fellow man, good and bad men. Unless we teach, they will never learn of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and their meaning to our lives. Will someone suddenly understand without training? If we won't teach, how will they learn? The world learns worldliness from the world. They can know nothing else unless we react to their needs, whether it's teaching or simply inviting them to services or to study. our individual faith must be active. The rich man is finally fully aware of his judgment. Soon he will find himself in total and complete separation from God after the day of judgment. Awaiting eternal separation from God, already in flames of torment, what a horrible position. Yet Satan is already condemned, but feels no compunction to change and continues to deluge the world with temptation, sin, and corruption. Where will I be found? Where will you be found? What is most important to me? What is most important to you? Each of us must honestly answer these questions. Will we be in Abraham's bosom? Or will we be simply buried to enter Hades to begin our torment? I admonish you, be new every morning. Determine your eternity. Make a change today. Come forward to be baptized or for prayers, whatever your need. Come forward as we stand and sing.